This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. Dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We praise and we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send peace and blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and we bear witness that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most beloved and the final messenger of Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, we have blinked our eyes once, and 1 week of the month of Ramadan has passed. And we will blink our eyes for a second time, and we would have reached the half of the month of Ramadan. So before we proceed any further into this month, there is a burning question. There is a very important and essential question, and that is, what is supposed to be happening to me in the month of Ramadan? Ramadan has a very specific purpose, and if I am not acutely aware of this purpose, and if I do not monitor myself with regards to my progress regarding this purpose, then surely the month of Ramadan will pass me by, and I would possibly be categorized amongst those who Allah says, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about such a person, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ, many a fasting person, حَظُّهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ, he is portion of his fasting, meaning he only derives from his fasting al-ju', hunger, wal-atash, and thirst. That's all that has happened to me during the month of Ramadan. I went hungry and I went thirsty. وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ, and many a person who stands in Salatu Taraweeh at night, perhaps even for Tahajjud Salah, حَظُّهُ, his portion, his gain from that standing is nothing but a sahr, but keeping awake at night, losing sleep. Surely, I do not want to be categorized among such people. May Allah save us all from this. And so, we need to then focus on what the very purpose of the month of Ramadan is for. And we all know, because every year in the month of Ramadan, we speak about this. And even outside of the month of Ramadan, we constantly speak about Taqwallah. But firstly, remember that a reminder benefits a believer. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind, for indeed a reminder benefits a believer. So we should never ever grow tired of being reminded of the same thing over and over again. Because if we have true iman, then every time we are reminded, that reminder will serve as a benefit, inshallah. Then the second thing to note is the question that, do we really understand what taqwa actually means? And the third question is, have I ever assessed myself to see what the level of my taqwa is, whether it meets the grade, whether it will serve me well in the year after, or whether it is lacking? So those are the burning questions to be asked regarding taqwa as well. So to simplify the understanding of taqwa, I like to look at this concept of top of mind. You would probably have heard of this, especially if you studied the subject of industrial psychology, where the huge companies spends millions of rands in getting their brand name or their company name to be top of mind, top of my mind and top of your mind, so that whenever there is a specific trigger, then the first thing that comes to mind is their company name, their brand. So, and when I speak about this in class with my students, I usually do a quick demonstration to prove this point. And what I do is I mention a thing and I request from them to blurt out, to shout out the first thought or the first word or name that comes to mind. For example, I would say, think of a supermarket. And in one voice, they would spontaneously shout out the word or the name, Pick and Pay. I would say, mention a dishwashing liquid. And again, the same thing would happen. They would all shout out Sunlight Liquid. And I'm sure perhaps the very same thing just happened to you now. So that is top of mind. Now apply this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the position that Allah should hold in our minds. Allah should be top of mind. And what should be the triggers to bring forth the, or to make rushing forth the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Everything around us. Everything and every moment should be a trigger for thinking of Allah and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ittaqillaha haythuma kunta. Be conscious of Allah, have taqwa of Allah wherever you find yourself. In whatever you find yourself doing, Allah must be top of mind, the thought of Allah must be there. Subhanallah. So, before we get into more depth with regards to what taqwa really is, let's first look at why. Why do we need taqwa? Why is it so essential? And what will taqwa do for me? Because that is how Allah had created the human psyche, that we are driven to do things because it will bring us some benefit or it will keep away harm. And thus we have Jannah, the ultimate benefit, and thus we have Jahannam, the ultimate harm to be saved and protected from. So what will taqwa do for me? Let's see what Allah says. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 194, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Have taqwa in Allah, wa'lamu, and you must know. So Allah specifically says, this is something you need to know. أَنَّ اللَّهَ, that Allah, مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, Allah is with those who have taqwa, with those beside you at all times in a metaphorical sense, that Allah will be there with you, especially in times of need and difficulty. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 76, بَلَا مَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ. Nay, the one who fulfills his promise to Allah, he fulfills his covenant of obedience and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاتَّقَى, and he has taqwa, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. For indeed Allah loves the muttaqeen. We earn the special love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 27, قَالَ, said, this is the story of Habil, the son of Nabi Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, speaking to his brother Qabil, and he says to him, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. إِنَّمَا, only, meaning restricted, limited. يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ, Allah only accepts, مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, from those who have taqwa, who are God conscious. Our deeds, the acceptance of our deeds is dependent on this, and therefore the month of Ramadan, its acceptance is dependent on our taqwa. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse number 67, Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu. Close friends in this world, on that day, the day of judgment, the day of qiyamah, they will be enemies of each other. Subhanallah. Probably the most intense love that one human can show to another would be the love of a mother, a breastfeeding mother to her suckling baby. But what does Allah say about such a mother? تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. Every breastfeeding mother will abandon the baby, the suckling babies. Subhanallah. What about our mothers? We would like to think that we would do anything, sacrifice anything for our mothers. We would even give our lives. This is what we would like to think. But on the day of Qiyamah, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be those who will be prepared to sell their mothers, allow their mothers to go to Jahannam so that they can be saved. وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِي. But here Allah says, coming back to the verse Surah Az-Zukhruf, إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Except the muttaqeen, the relationship built on taqwa, loving for the sake of Allah, those relationships will not be broken in the year after. It will remain intact, in fact be even stronger inshallah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Ad-Dukhan, verse number 51, whilst the entire human race on the day of Qiyamah will be in a state of panic, in a state of trauma, in a state of terror because of the unfolding events of the day of Qiyamah. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, those who have taqwa, fi maqamin aminin, they will be in a safe place under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of them. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Verse number 3 and 2 and 3, Surah At-Talaq. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whomsoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will provide an exit out of every difficulty. وَيَرُزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And he will be sustained. Sustenance will come to the way of the muttaqeen from places and avenues that you would never have thought of and imagined. Subhanallah. Purely by virtue of being from the muttaqeen. Surah At-Talaq, verse number 4. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Huge, big problems. Problems that seems like a mountain. By the virtue of taqwa, it will be reduced to look like a molehill. Allah will make matters easy, inshallah. Surah At-Talaq again, verse number 5. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِ. Being from the muttaqeen means that you strive to refrain from sin, but we can never ever be absolutely sinless. We will be committing sin here and there. But what will happen to those sins? By virtue of you being from the muttaqeen, Allah will forgive and wipe out those sins. Not even will it, in fact, in addition to being wiped out, فَأُولَٰئِكَ, Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 70, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Those Allah will convert their sins into good deeds. Subhanallah. And being from the muttaqeen, it will mean that the quality of your deeds, of your good deeds, will be of such a quality, such a high quality. Coming back to verse number 5, Surah At-Talaq, وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. Allah will magnify and multiply the reward of your deeds. Subhanallah. And then the last thing we'll mention about the benefit of taqwa. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, the very first verse, first and second verse, Allah actually introduces the Quran to us. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. That book, the Quran. Allah mentions the first thing about it. لَا رَيْبَ فِي. There is no doubt in it. Subhanallah. That is a discussion on its own. And then the second thing Allah mentions about it. هُدًى. The very function and purpose of the Quran is this. It is a guide. Guidance is the most important and valuable thing for all of us, for anyone. Without guidance, we are doomed, we have absolutely nothing. Hence, Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is what it is, because in that surah, we are asking Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So guidance, that is the key word. This Quran is that means through which we will be guided, inshallah. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran has been revealed, and the purpose of the Quran, هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ, it is a guidance for mankind. But who from amongst mankind will actually be guided? Here Allah mentions it. هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, a guidance for those who have taqwa. Subhanallah. Now, after listening to all those verses, which Allah highlights the benefits of the muttaqeen and of taqwa, surely now we understand that there's no way we can do without taqwa. Surely now we really want taqwa. So three questions. Number one, what is taqwa? We need a bit more detail regarding what taqwa is. Number two, how do I know whether I have it, whether it's lacking? And number three, how do we get this taqwa? And how do we grow this taqwa? And how do we safeguard this taqwa? So, many scholars have defined taqwa. One such definition is that of Imam Suyuti rahimahullah, where he says taqwa is malakatun tahmilu sahibaha ala imtithali awamirillahi wajtinabi nawahi. Taqwa is a trait that becomes the driving force behind the one who has it to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the driving force behind refraining from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to go a bit deeper than this definition, because the question is, what will bring about this trait that becomes the driving force? And the answer is knowing Allah, and more importantly, being convinced of what we come to know of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is the essential thing, because there are many things we know about Allah, but how convinced are we? We know, we've learned as children that Allah is as-sami', that Allah is all-hearing. But how convinced are we of this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Check your words. What words come from your mouth, and how do we express our words? And that will be a very, very good indication of our conviction that Allah is Sami'. We all know, and we've learned from children, as children, that Allah is Al-Basir, that Allah is all-seeing. But how convinced are we? Check your actions, especially when you are alone. Check your actions, and that will be a very good indication of how convinced you are that Allah is Basir. We all know, and we've learned, that Allah is Al-Aleem. Allah is infinitely knowledgeable. There is nothing that escapes the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that Allah is Al-Aleem bidhati sudur. Allah even knows what we have in our hearts, our innermost thoughts that we have. Allah even knows that. How convinced are we of that? Check your thoughts. Check the thoughts that you entertain. And that will be a very good indication of how convinced we are that Allah even knows our thoughts. Subhanallah. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, how do I know? How would I know that I have taqwa, or that I'm lacking in my taqwa? There are apparent signs. We'll mention a few. Belief in the unseen is the first thing mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the extent of our belief in the unseen? How convinced are you of Jannah? Compare what you've done for your Jannah, what effort you've made for your Jannah, what you've spent on your Jannah, compared to the effort that you've made for your dunya, for your comfort in this worldly life. Look at the reward promised to us for our deeds by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salah in the masjid is 27 times more rewarded, says Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is that enough? Is that enough to motivate us to make more of our salawat in the masjid? Or if someone were to tell us, or if we were promised that after every waqt, you can pick up your cash envelope of 1,000 rands after every waqt you make in the masjid, would that do it for us? Which one of the two will motivate us more to perform more of our salawat, of our fard salah in the masjid? Answer that question for yourself. Salah in the life of the muttaqeen is a rock solid feature. Therefore Allah says, the second attribute of the muttaqeen, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, they establish salah. Surah An-Nur says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. These are people that no trade, no business transaction, and nothing else will be able to deter them from remembering Allah and from establishing salah. The muttaqeen are those الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Spending is a constant in their lives. There are those who spend فِي السَّرَّاءِ in times of ease and affluence, وَالضَّرَّاءِ and in times of difficulty, when there are financial constraints. That does not stop them from spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The muttaqeen are those who they have a very special connection and bond with the Qur'an, and that bond and that connection is very apparent in their lives. The muttaqeen are those, another constant in their lives is they seek forgiveness constantly. وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. In the early hours of the morning, especially before Fajr, they seek Allah's forgiveness. And a point to note here is that the muttaqeen would be those persons whose sins are at a minimum, because they are striving to refrain from haram. And yet they are the ones who seek forgiveness the most. And this is learnt from Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, وَاللَّهِ لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. By Allah, I seek forgiveness every single day 100 times. Allahu Akbar. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sinless. He has absolutely no sin against his name, but he seeks Allah's forgiveness. He seeks Allah seeks Allah's forgiveness 100 times a day, and this is a sign of taqwa. Subhanallah. The people of taqwa are those who are able to suppress their anger. They are those who remain calm and dignified and respectful. Their children, their spouses, their employees do not bear the brunt of their rage and their anger. They are those who are able to remain calm and collected and respectful and dignified. Says Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Laysa shadeed ma'a sur'a." The strong person is not the one who can wrestle the other one to the ground. And wrestling here can be with your words, with your shouting, with your rage and anger. إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدِ مَنْ يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. The strong person is the one who is able to control himself at the time when he does get angry. The muttaqeen are those who, firstly, they do not take offense easily and they forgive easily. It's easy for them to forgive. They do not carry anything in the heart. Says Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to raise the rank and honor of an individual as long as that individual is continuously forgiving others. People of taqwa are those people who are intensely worried about the year after. وَهُمْ مِنَ السَّاعَةِ مُشْفِقُونَ. They, regarding the hour, the final hour, they are really fearful. They worry about the day when they will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give an account of their life. Subhanallah. And this becomes the driving force behind the way they live their life, the way they structure their lives. And the muttaqeen are those who, when they do fall prey to sin, which will happen, muttaqeen are not sinless, so this will definitely happen. But it will not be, it will be at a minimum, inshallah. But when it does happen, then they feel so bad. They are so remorseful that immediately they seek Allah's forgiveness. And they do not persist on that sin. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They do not persist on that which they do, the sin, that particular sin. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Whilst they know that what they're doing is haram and haram. Let us quickly distinguish here between a person who commits a sin and is not remorseful. Such a person does not make tawbah, does not seek Allah's forgiveness, and such a person persists in that sin. Then, compared to a person who commits a sin but feels so bad after doing it and immediately repents to Allah, seeks Allah's forgiveness, and then after that, in a moment of weakness, falls prey to that sin again, and again feels bad, and again repents, and this happens a few times over and over, Allah will forgive such a person every time as long as he is sincere in his seeking forgiveness. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions a few things that we should not be doing, which will be a sign, indication of deficient taqwa. Says Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "La tahasadu." You must not be envious of each other. "Wala tanajashu." You must not bid up prices against each other. "Wala taghabadu." And you must not have hatred for one another. "Wala tabadaru." And you should not turn your backs on each other. "Wala yabi' ba'dukum ala bay'i ba'din." And you should not attempt to contract over the contract of another. "Wakunu ibadullahi ikhwana." Be the true slaves of Allah as brothers of each other. "Al-Muslim akhul Muslim." A Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. "La yadlimuhu." He will never ever oppress him or wrong him. "Wala yakhdhuluhu." No one ever forsake him. "Wala yahqiruhu." No one ever belittle him. And then after mentioning all these things that we should not be doing, the Prophet of Allah seals that and concludes that with the words, "At-taqwa ha-huna." Taqwa is located here, and he points to his heart. "At-taqwa ha-huna. At-taqwa ha-huna." And three times he repeats it. Subhanallah. So my dear brother and sister in Islam, how do we get this taqwa? How do we protect this taqwa? How do we safeguard it? Based on the fact that taqwa is located in the heart, we should then be focusing on the heart. And regarding the heart, says Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna hadhihi al-qulub." Indeed, these hearts, tazda'u, they rust. "Kama yazda'u al-hadid." Just as iron rusts. Such a hard substance, such a solid substance, if not cared for, it will rust away and it will be destroyed. In the same way, the hearts. And the rusting of the hearts basically means the diminishing of taqwa, because the heart is the location of taqwa. "Qila ya Rasulullah." It was then asked of Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, "Fama jila'uha." What would then be its polish? What would be the polish of the heart to restore it and to safeguard it against rusting? Qala, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Dhikrul maut." He mentions two things, and the first thing is remembering death. Allahu Akbar. Nothing can be a better reminder than the reminder of death. A reminder of our true purpose in this dunya. A reminder of the akhirah. A reminder that we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That which will bring us back into focus. Nothing can do the job better than remembering death. And this is something that the Prophet of Allah had said that we need to do often. "Akthiru dhikra hadhim illadhat." Remember and mention and speak of as often as you can that which is going to cut you off from this worldly pleasures. Ya'ni al-maut, referring to death. And it should not be a depressing thought, but rather a thought that energizes us to do more to grow our taqwa, inshallah. But the topic of death is a topic on its own that requires a discussion on its own, which we may leave for another Jumu'ah, inshallah. And then the second thing mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Wa tilawatul Quran," and the recitation of Quran. The job of the Quran is to purify, to cleanse. It's a cleansing agent, cleansing the heart, growing taqwa, because that is essentially what cleansing of the heart means, growing in taqwa. And so here again I remind you and I urge you that tilawatul Quran must not be limited only to reading without understanding. We have to go the extra mile, take the extra step in understanding what we are reading. Because the Quran, what it's supposed to do is we need to grow in our knowledge of who Allah is and conviction of that knowledge. And that can only really be achieved through understanding what we are reading, inshallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, with every passing moment during the month of Ramadan, with every passing hour of the month of Ramadan, with every passing day of the month of Ramadan, that we are growing in our taqwa inshallah, and that we are consciously thinking about it and monitoring it and worrying about it inshallah, and that when we eventually breathe our last, that it will be when we are at our peak with our taqwa inshallah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.